Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God set before us this morning is recorded in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. It was not in the bright light of the resurrection or the ascension, but it was in the gloominess of the night when our Lord was betrayed, just after Judas was revealed as the traitor and Peter was revealed as the denier. And there we hear Jesus' comforting words, Let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And then when Thomas says, we don't know where you are going, how can we know the way? Then we get to the main point of this text. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Today is the last time that I take a regular turn in the preaching schedule here in the chapel. For 38 years, 12 of them as chaplain, I've sat in the congregation. I've stood at the altar or in the pulpit for our daily chapel services. Added to that were 7 years as a student when chapel was held twice a day, required, and enforced. I felt that enforcement a few times. I'm kind of tempted to total up all of those times that I attended chapel or have stood at the altar or in the pulpit and see how many times they were. That would be a little bit futile since my math skills are deteriorating. And then maybe I could make some interesting point about all of that. I also thought about maybe pointing out a few of the exciting experiences that I've had either as a chaplain or a chapel speaker, like when the chapel speaker fails to show up. And I've been on both the giving end and the receiving end of that one. But about that point, I'm reminded of the words of the old rector to Friedfeld in Hammer of God after Friedfeld had spent some time talking about his wonderful experiences and urging the rector to talk about some of his interesting experiences. And the old rector says, one ought not talk about oneself. It may hide Jesus from view. Now, there is just one thing, however, that I want to say about my experience as a part of the Bethany Chapel for all of these years. What Jesus says to Thomas and the others, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That summarizes very adequately the preaching in this chapel and also what has been and should continue to be expected from me and my colleagues. I pray that it will remain so for as long and as many generations as this place yet stands, or as long as the Lord finds it useful. When Jesus said those words, remember, he was on his way to the cross, to suffering and to death. That was his mission, to be wounded for our transgressions, to be bruised for our iniquities, to carry the iniquity of us all, Isaiah, that he was to be delivered over to death for our offenses and raised again for our justification, St. Paul. And that is how he is the way. Let Paul describe it again. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is the way, and there is no other gospel than that. He's the truth. Pilate would ask, in a very discourteous way, what is truth? Earlier in a conversation with the disciples, Philip said, show us the Father. You've been talking about him so much. And Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. St. John announced him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of truth, and his Word, his teaching, is the truth. He is the truth, the one true God, in whom there is no falsehood and no corruption. And he is the life. When Jesus came to Bethany, upon hearing the news that his friend Lazarus had died, Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall never die. Our Lord preached, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Jesus is life, from whom all life comes, the author of life and the redeemer of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That demands our focus. It demands our focused attention. This is the message of the gospel, which comes to people like you and me, to everyone who has come into this chapel, everyone who has stood in this pulpit and stood at the altar. It comes to all of us who are burdened with guilty consciences, who have weak flesh and weak wills, who are uncertain, depressed, despondent, and alone. We all come here as women and men, young and old, afflicted with the same weakness. The good that I want to do, I do not do. And the evil that I do not want to do, that I keep on doing. St. Paul, Romans 7. To all of us who stand thus before him in repentance, in sorrow over our sin, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you think that you can find the way yourself, that you have within yourself the wisdom to learn the truth, and that you have control over your life, then you do not have Him as the way, the truth, and the life. And you are lost in the darkness of falsehood and spiritual deadness. Our Lord is the only way, the only truth, the only life we are given. We are given it. You did not choose me, Jesus says. I chose you. No one comes to the Father except through me. He comes to us by the word of the gospel, in the preaching and teaching of his word, in the waters of baptism, in the absolution, in his body and blood in the supper. With his keys, the forgiveness of sins, he opens the kingdom of heaven for us, that house of many mansions, and he gives it to us here and now. And thus he makes us, sinners as we are, to be his holy saints. To him alone be the glory, now and forever. God bless your continued hearing and obedience to his word. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant unto your church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that in this place your word may always be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in the confession of your name we may all remain in this faith until the end, when through Jesus Christ our Lord we will be brought to the eternal home you have promised. Amen.
I have to confess, Professor Tigan, I was really glad for a lot of different reasons that you didn't transform your homily into a mathematics lesson this morning. I believe that I am the only one here currently employed at Bethany who was on the faculty when you first took up your call to become on the faculty, to become a member of the faculty at Bethany. I had just become a full-time instructor here on campus. And I think your office was what is now the registrar's suite. Part of that suite is where your office was in Old Main. I was relegated to the lower level of Luther Hall and the Chem Lab, which is now a fitness center. But anyway, and you may or may not remember this. I think we've talked about this, that I actually had you as a professor even earlier, not for a religion or a philosophy class, but actually a course in the seminary. I think at that time you were still at Heritage and you were driving down on a weekly basis to teach a class in missiology. So a lot's happened on campus since that time. A lot has changed, but one thing hasn't. Professor Tigan has faithfully preached God's word every time he stood behind the pulpit of the lectern, and today's homily was yet another example of that, and it's been a tremendous blessing to the college. And so on behalf of all of us at Bethany, past and present, I want to thank you for your steadfast commitment to sharing the one thing needful with us over these years, and may our Lord continue to bless you wherever he leads you next. And I'm sure we'll continue to see you on campus, not just in the archives, but probably here in chapel as well. And so please all of you join me now in expressing our gratitude to Professor Tigan for his faithful preaching of God's word over all these years.
I won't preach anymore. not today, anyway. But I do thank you very much. Preaching, serving in the chapel, and serving at Bethany has been the best part of my life. Thank you.
And again, thank you for serving us so distinguishedly over all these years. We really appreciate it.